All right. Carnivore Soldier coming at you from Austin, Texas. It's another great morning here in Austin. And today we have someone from down under. Kendall is joining us, Carnivore Kendall, and she's going to be sharing what it's like to be a carnivore mom, to get married and have a carnivore wedding and have a carnivore husband. So it's going to be a great discussion. Welcome to The Carnivore Way. This is my podcast where we talk to carnivores and YouTube content creators in the carnivore sphere that talk about what we do and how we live our carnivore lifestyle. So let me bring Kendall in, let her introduce herself real quick. Good morning, Kendall, or good evening.
Good morning, good evening. Yes, good evening here. Good morning for you guys.
Now, where are you at in Australia? I know it's a big place. Like, I'm from Texas, which is really big, but Australia is even bigger. But
yes, I'm in Melbourne, Victoria, which is down the south of the country. Yes.
Well, you know about that. There's that get-together coming up today, I think.
Yes, right? I think it actually was this weekend. I'm not going to get there, unfortunately, but it's meant to be amazing.
That was in Melbourne. Yeah. That's really cool. That's too bad you missed it because I heard it was a lot of good speakers there.
Yeah, I think it's the second time they've done it. So I'll have to definitely try and get there next time.
Yeah, plan for it. We have what's called KetoCon or Hack Your Health, they call it now, here in Austin. Yes. And that's coming up in the end of May. And I'm going and I'm meeting Dr. Chafee there, Dr. Kiltz, Dr. Baker. They're all going to be there. And I've already interviewed with them and I'm meeting them there, which is going to be great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Also, Kerry from Homestead Howe, I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yes.
He'll be there.
Yes.
Yeah, we're meeting up.
That'll be great. I'd love to do that one day.
Yeah, the carnivore teacher. Well, let me tell you, if you're going to come to America, I mean, I'm biased, but Texas is the best state in America, and Austin is a fun place to go. It's not the best city in Texas, but it is a fun place to go, and we do have the best barbecue. So this is the place to come to get meat.
That's important. Meat's important.
Huge. So why don't you introduce yourself, tell us who you are, where you're from, you already kind of did that, what you do, and how long you've been carnivore, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so my name's Kendall, obviously, as you guys, you've just introduced me, and I have been carnivore for, I think, coming up to 10 months now, so I'm still a fairly new carnivore. My background, I'm a professional makeup artist and personal trainer, did that for 20 years makeup artistry, and I've always worked for myself, and then I did a little bit of personal training, and I'm also a mum. So throughout my journey, I've been married before, been a single mum, run my own business. Life was always really, really busy, and throughout that time I did get a little bit of an illness. I guess I was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis, so I had an autoimmune disease throughout all the stress probably of what was going on in life at the time, like we all go through. So I've always been very health conscious, very healthy, and sort of focused on eating whole food nutrition. And I also did some work for a company that was all about health and wellness and healthy living and skin and makeup and nutrition. So it's always been about helping others feel their best. And that's been my goal, I think, always, whether it's with their skincare, their makeup, their bodies, their nutrition. And that's still my passion today. And I just love helping people. I don't really want to sell anything or do anything like that. I just want to help people. It's just from the goodness of my own heart. That's sort of my background into, you know, what I do and what I like to do. I have two kids, a 14-year-old boy and Hugh, and a nearly 13-year-old daughter. So they're wonderful. They aren't carnivore yet.
Yeah.
I do try and just do a little bit of subtle hints here and there and try and talk about things, especially my son, who's very heavily into sport and he plays AFL and football, footy. But that's my background.
Yeah, my son's 14 too, and he did carnivore for a while, although right now he is not carnivore. And let me share I'm going to share you an example of a kind of meal I make for him, because this is what we ate last night for dinner. I took a picture of it and put it on my Facebook group. I do have a Facebook group for anyone that's looking to actually join a community. Let me show this. This is the dinner I made for us. And you can see my plate has a cube of butter and a burger. And his plate, now these fries are homemade sweet potato fries in lard that I fried and salted. It's ketchup. It's called Primal ketchup. It has no sugar added.
Wow.
It's very clean ketchup. The salad dressing is Primal dressing, which it does have some avocado oil, but very little, and it doesn't have any other seed oil. It's very clean. And then the burger is Wagyu, and the bun I gave him, and he has cheese on it, and the bun I gave him is a keto bun, so it's a lower carb. So I'm going with lower carb and healthier whole food options for my son.
Wow, that's amazing.
But he loves it. He's like, this tastes just as good as the restaurant, Dad, if not better. And I'm like, okay, there you go. So no big deal. You don't have to be the food Nazi necessarily as the parent to still feed your kids healthy, right? And exactly. I try to do that.
Exactly. There's always a way. There's always a healthier version, isn't there?
Yeah, when I give him a snack, he does like fruit. So I get apples and I slice them. And then we have peanut butter. It's made of just peanuts. Ground. That's all it is. Nothing else.
Yes. I used to buy that. Just the peanuts that they grow on the peanuts. Yeah.
There's nothing. There's one ingredient, peanuts and salt, basically two. Yes. So that is the cleanest version of a seed oil and everything that's okay. I think it's okay because it's cold pressed or cold made. It's not oxidized. And so that's what I do for my son. Or I give him grapes or something. I know there's a lot of sugar there, but I think the seed oils are the main culprit. I think the sugar is bad if you have an addiction. My son doesn't have an addictive personality. I do. I would eat just the sugar. I mean, I used to eat, oh my gosh. If I opened
the whole packet. Oreos,
I'd eat the whole Oreo bag if I ate it up, you know, and dip it in milk and just sit there and eat it all. And
once you've opened it, it's like, I'm just going to eat the whole thing because then it's gone and then I don't have it anymore.
Right. So tell me, how did you hear about carnivore and what prompted you to start it? It seems like a crazy diet. I've seen one of your videos. We talked about at first when you saw it, you weren't mentally ready. And then became mentally. So tell me about that, like the first time you heard about it and then the time you actually adopted it.
Yeah. So I heard about it through my partner, well, my husband now, but he was my husband then. One of his friends had we'd done some work for. We also run our own business together as well. I forgot to mention that. So exterior cleaning. So I'm sort of in the office now, but I was also out on the tools. So we went and did this job and he said, I'm doing this meat thing, you know, I just eat meat. And I thought, oh my God, that's just disgusting. How could you just eat meat? I just thought, I like meat, but I don't like it that much. I'm like, oh yeah. And Ty, my husband or partner at the time, husband at the time, he's like, that sounds great. Oh, I'm going to do it. And I thought, don't you dare do that. I'm not making two lots of food for you and one for me. And so I just was very against it. And I just thought it sounded too extreme. And I always thought you had to have all your macros. I was a big believer in, you know, a bit of this, bit of carbs, bit of fat, bit of this. And I just thought there's no way I would ever do it. And I think time went on, might have been 6 months or 3 months or something. He never really did it, by the way. He didn't really try. And it came up again. He saw something on YouTube, my husband, and he said it was Michaela Peterson talking about her autoimmune disease and how it's cured her. And he said, I think you should look at this video. And as soon as it resonated with me and it really got to my heart and it was my why, I went, oh my God, I have to do this. I forgot all about what I said before. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And I started watching all these videos and it happened when we were in Thailand on our like pre-honeymoon. So the worst place to be going on a carnivore diet in Thailand.
Everything's cooked in oil.
It was noodles and pad thai. Mm-hmm. And he did really good. He didn't eat any of that stuff, but we probably ate still some bad stuff. We did drink as well a little bit, but I still sort of cut out the main veggies and all that sort of salads and stuff. I didn't have anything. I just had meat. And I was watching all the videos while I was on vacation going, wow, look at all these people and Anthony Chaffee and Sean Baker. And I was just going through them all. I was addicted. So when we got home, which was about the end of July, I just went hardcore. I went all in. I just went, I'm home, no more alcohol, which was just for the holiday, none of that, and no veggies. I just stopped eating at all. And I was eating a lot of oxalates, a lot of spinach, a lot of sweet potato, all the high oxalate foods. And I was sort of like I was drifting through, I don't know what, for about a week. I was like my head wasn't screwed on. I think I was just dumping all that stuff out of my system. But that's how it started. I think my why was I don't want to go back on heavy-duty medication. And I'd been on methotrexate for 4 years prior when I was diagnosed. So I'd been off it, but I had a little flare-up and I thought, oh, don't really want to go back to the rheumatologist. And then this all came up. It just all came at the right time and I went, oh, my gosh, if I can eat meat, I'd rather eat meat than have to go back on that stuff. So that's why I did it, yeah. And I actually loved it.
You don't take any meds, right,
for that? No meds, no inflammation. Yeah. I do still have a little bit of psoriasis. I think that's going to take a while to heal, but pretty good.
Yeah, and oxalate dumping can take longer than just, you've only been for a few months, right? Like 9 months or 10 months?
9 months.
9 months. Yeah.
So, I was eating a lot of green smoothies, a lot of greens, energy drinks.
I'm glad I hated that stuff because I didn't have to deal with it. I hated spinach. I liked salads, but really what I liked was salad dressing with the texture of salad. I mean, like I would like a wedge salad, which was like the blue cheese and the bacon bits on a piece of iceberg lettuce, which is basically just texture, right? Yes, and it turns out it's all seed oil, right? So I was eating the wrong thing for sure.
It's amazing how much of it we eat, we don't realize.
Exactly. And I point that out to my son. And I know I sound like a Nazi because I do point it out to my son. I'm like, listen, son, you know, you got to stay away from dips. You got to stay away from the salad dressings. And I'm sure he thinks I'm extreme, which is fine. I'm good with that because it is extreme, but it's because our standard Western diet is extreme. And in America, it's worse than is Australia or in the UK. They add seed oil to more things here that they can't over there.
I think there's more sauces and dressings and that there than maybe here. But look, we aren't far behind, I don't think.
No, you guys aren't far behind, but America is worse off. I saw a comparison of breakfast cereals between an American cereal, and I think it was Lucky Charms or something, and a German version. And in Germany, there's no seed oils, and ours are seed oils in the breakfast cereal.
Wow.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, yeah. And I think it's because it's part of that scientific study where the scientists design food to get the right mouth feel and the bliss point.
Yes, I have heard that. I've heard that video about that. And it's addictive and it's got the crackle and the smell and the taste in there. It's frightening, isn't it?
They optimize the addiction level of our food here in America. And in Europe, in the EU at least, they protect some people from some of that, which is a little better, but they're still not far behind us. Yes. So yeah, it's crazy. It's for me, eating meat was just, it changed my mental health. It changed my physical health. I don't know if you've seen pictures of me before and after, but
I've been on some of your stuff. I need to go and see all the befores, but I haven't seen the befores, but I think you look great now. So
oh my gosh. I was so, I wonder if I have my shirt off picture in my, I think I do in my Facebook. Let me see if I can grab it because I went from 280 pounds and yes, here we go. Let me bring it up. This is good stuff. So let me shock you here now. I do have my shirt off, so I don't like to.
That's all right.
You know, I'm not a guy that likes to do this, but, you know. Let me show you what this has done to me, what this carnivore diet has done.
Oh, wow. Oh, no, I did see this one, actually. I did see this one. I think I did see that, yes. I think it's amazing. What are the difference?
280 to 233 and put on muscle. And now I have so many stories I can talk about, like this ring that I wear. I had made when I was in my 20s. When I got out of my first military service and I couldn't wear it for decades. It sat in my bowl on my desk. And then one day after being carnivore for 6 months, I thought, I wonder if this could fit me. Cause I feel like I'm back. And I just put it on and it fit. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's crazy. Right. I had so much inflammation. I couldn't get it past my knuckle.
Amazing. It's incredible. Even Ty's wedding ring he's only had for a few months. It's too big. He has to get it reduced. He's lost like 26 kilos.
Wow. Yeah, that's about what I lost. I mean, I lost 50 pounds.
He was always a bigger man. Like he's done Ironmans and he's a strength and conditioning coach. So he's done a lot of working out in his years and had knee reconstructions and stuff like that. But it was quick, like 3 months.
Yeah, I know. It's so quick. So going back to my story, I was retired Army. So I retired Army in 2019. I've always been in pretty good shape, and I was a rugby player and a wrestler and a track runner in high school and in college. In college, I played rugby. So I was second row, which I don't know if you know what that is, but that's like a kind of like a lineman in football, but in American football. Yes. But, I'm almost down to – I'm basically at my playing weight right now that I had in college, which is crazy. And I'm in the gym now. I started the gym. I did not do any gym workouts in the first 9 months of carnivore. And I got amazing results, lost all this weight, lost all my inflammation. And then I hit the gym and, oh my gosh, it's like crazy. I mean, I'm just, I'm 58.
That's great.
I'm 58 and I didn't have any, and I'm just feel like I feel athletic again. I'm able to sprint. I'm able to lift. I'm doing deadlifts and farmer carries and squats and all the stuff I did in college. It's so good. It feels so great.
Makes you feel like a brand new person. You feel like you really do feel like a superhero, as Anthony Chafee says. If you want to be like a superhero, it's incredible.
And I have to remind myself that I'm not. It's like I can still get killed in a car crash, but my chances of getting cancer or Alzheimer's is like way, 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 way down to the bottom of the barrel of my worries,
So absolutely. It's great. Absolutely. And I think you mentioned before about not having the brain fog and your mental health. Mm-hmm. that was a big one for me because I think I've always suffered from a little bit of anxiety, but never really, really. I mean, everybody else probably knows, but I sort of know. But I noticed that was a big thing. I just felt like I could think clearly. Time slowed down. I wasn't rushing. I'd always sort of be short with people, or not all the time, but, you know, a bit more short and abrupt. And I just felt like a brand new person. And I was really, my whole feeling was just so much better. Mental health wise was, I couldn't believe how much difference I felt in myself and just better about myself, just feeling generally better. And just, yeah, it does make you feel like a different person. And I think a lot of people think that sounds a bit corny and a bit funny, but it really is true.
I call it carnivore Zen. And because it is, you just like, you become totally relaxed and the stress falls away. Now there's still stress. There's still problems in life.
Of course.
But you handle it so much better now. And it's
absolutely. Yeah. And I think like, just feeling lighter, not that I was never really, I've never been different weight, but, and I've always worked out. So I've been consistent with that, but I always, as getting older, being close to 50 myself, I was feeling bloated sometimes, and that was all, I think, all the food I was eating as well. I was always feeling like I couldn't get rid of that little bit of weight on my stomach. As a mum, I think a lot of mums know what that's like. And as soon as I did carnivore, that water weight just, you know, I was away and I was like, wow, I've just shrunk. Like,
and you're never bloated.
I love this. It's gone. And I've been trying to solve this problem for a long time. And the muscles increased over time because I've kept my workouts up and I feel stronger all the time. It's fantastic.
So we have we have a holiday here called Thanksgiving, and the holiday is, it's all around eating. That's all it is. It's really just getting together and eating a big meal, and it's usually the worst foods you could ever think of. And this year I hosted, and my brother is carnivore, my sister and their family. So we hosted a carnivore Thanksgiving, and it was the first time I've had a Thanksgiving where I didn't have a stomach that was upset and full, and where I had to unbutton my button and lay on the couch in pain for hours after. That's what everyone does on Thanksgiving. And this Thanksgiving, I just ate and felt trim and felt, never got bloated and just got full and stopped eating. It was satisfying. So
such a great feeling. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic. My sister lives in the States. She's in Los Angeles and married an American guy. So they do. Yeah. They do talk about Thanksgiving and it sounds like it's like our Christmas. That's what most people do over here for Christmas.
Oh, we do it for Christmas too. You know, we do it. We have to do both, you know,
American another reason to eat more food.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I love it. You know, but you can do and we did eat not completely clean. We ate pretty clean. I mean, when we talk about cheating, I'm talking about Dr. Kiltz's ice cream. I made a homemade eggnog with heavy
whipped cream. I did hear you talk about that, actually. I remember you talking about that on one of your things. Yeah that sounded amazing.
I just got egg yolks and heavy whipping cream and whipped them up and then put in nutmeg and a little sweetener and put it in the fridge. And
that sounds fantastic.
It tasted like regular eggnog. It was so good.
Wow.
And we had alcohol, you know, last night I actually had a little bit of bourbon with a veteran, my buddy, my neighbor, who's a veteran, came over. He's a carnivore too now, because he changed his life after meeting me. And we had a little bourbon. So I do occasionally drink, but this bottle of bourbon now has been in my house since Thanksgiving, which is last November. And we just finished it last night. So that's how little I'm drinking now. And I used to drink, that bottle would have lasted 3 weeks max. Yes. I would have had to drink every night to go to bed. That's the way I used to drink. I don't know about you.
We used to be a little bit the same. It was a Friday night, have a drink, I'd have vodka and soda, so very light. And my husband likes bourbon too. And every now and then I'd have bourbon as well and dry ginger or ginger ale. And it became a little bit more where we drink two or three drinks, four drinks a week. And that's when I went, I think I have to stop. This is becoming just a habit of de-stress when you shouldn't need to de-stress like that. So that's what I cut out before I started carnivore, actually. So very rarely we'll have a drink if it's a celebration or something, or obviously on our wedding we did. But apart from that, it's very rare now to have any sort of drinks unless it's something special. So definitely makes you feel better. You don't have all that sort of carry on for days and days and days afterwards and all that sort of thing. But I guess being a carnivore mum and wife, I was lucky that my husband was the one that introduced it to me and we both wanted to do it together. I think that would make it a lot easier for people if you can work together and tag team and have that support of your partner or your husband. Or I think that's been a blessing, and we motivate each other and talk about things, and we understand what we're, you know, we're reading the same things and just interested in the same way of life. As for the kids, I wouldn't push them into it. I think that they're seeing huge results with my husband and how he's changed, and I think it'll just work over time. And they know I've always been very health conscious. So I think just things will rub off, and they learn from example, and they learn if you're setting a good example, and they will learn that from you. So I think that's a nice thing to over time. They'll choose what they want to do, and I try and still get them fairly healthy as the healthy alternatives. They both do have a sweet tooth a little bit, but they're very good. But I won't push it on them. I'll just let them work it out themselves. And over time, I think they'll get more and more inclined. I can already see some changes already happening with them. So it's sort of quite cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm single. So when I date, I'm looking for that now. I'm looking for someone who, these are foundational things, your faith, your politics. Are you conservative? Are you liberal? That kind of thing. Your diet. These are pretty foundational. And if you're off on one of those, I don't think it's a good foundation to build a relationship on. You really have to have some roots that are the same. Like you and your husband are both physical in the gym, both kind of training. You're in the same mindset there. And then your diet. And now, so that's kind of what I look for too. And it's really difficult because it seems as so extreme in the dating realm. You know, when you meet someone and they're like, I met this one girl, I went on a date. And she said, well, I love to bake. I'm like, well, great. That's good for you. I'm glad you love to bake. She goes, well, you would eat my pie if I baked it, right? And I'm like, no, I would not have a bite of your pie. I'm sorry. I don't know if this is metaphorical or what, but I'm not going to eat your pie. And that was the last date with her, you know, and I was like, okay, because it was just too weird that I would not eat anything that she would bake. And I'm like, that's fine. Yeah. I'm not here to be a food Nazi. But I realized, too, that if she had all that stuff in the house and if I did end up being with someone like that, it would be really difficult to have two different meals going at dinner. And like what I did with my son, I made burgers and I just gave him some extra stuff on there, but I'm still eating the same meal, right?
Yes. And that's what we do. I do exactly the same. I'll cook up, like I did chicken thighs in a creamy bacon sauce, which was absolutely lovely. Gave it to the kids and they had rice. So they had it with rice or pasta because that's how they would eat it. And we just had it plain, you know, with nothing. But the funny story about the partner thing, when I met my husband, he said to me, there was a few conditions. One was not being vegan.
Yeah, for sure. No vegans.
Or vegetarian. He said, I don't want any vegans or vegetarians, and because that would have been a deal breaker. So it does make a difference, I think, if you're going to live that lifestyle. At least they like meat. Open.
And I like to say, and I don't know if you've probably seen my videos, I like to say that carnivore is not just a diet, not even just a lifestyle. It's a life-changing event. And it's where your identity changes. It's such a drastic change in your health and your mental health and your physical health that it's like you change the trajectory of your life of where you're going. For me, it has. I mean, for me, I went from unmotivated, sitting on a couch, no energy, no plans, just like holding on to life, thinking I was just going to do this downward slope to death and hope I'd be around to see my son graduate college and maybe get married, maybe even see a grandchild. I was hoping. Yes. And it went from that to now this trajectory where I'm planning, I'm doing these great exercises. I'm traveling the world. I'm looking to buy rental homes. I'm doing I have plans. I'm planning for a future, and it's a long future because I know Dr. Chafee says 120 years is what we're designed to live.
Yes, so that means
I'm not even midlife yet. I'm not even midlife yet. I got a long way.
That's right. Exactly. It definitely does change you. I feel the same. I think I saw that video you're talking about, and I was listening to it, and I was like, I totally identify with that. Yeah. You go deeper with things. You get more passionate about things. And you have more time and energy to put it into other things that you wouldn't have before because you just don't feel as good. So I think it really can change your life in so many ways. Enriches your life, I think.
Yeah, and it's hard to describe. You can't tell someone. They have to experience it. It's like being a parent. That's what I talk about. Because a lot of people are parents or graduating to military school. When you graduate military school, your identity changes. You're now a soldier or a veteran, right? And if you've been a parent, you're now a mom or a dad, and you can't tell somebody. I can talk about being a dad all day long, but if someone hasn't done it, if they never put a baby in their hands that they created with their wife or their partner, they don't know. They don't know. You cannot explain it in words. And it's the same way with carnivore. If you haven't done carnivore for 100 days and experienced the changes in your life, no one can tell you how it's going to be. And no amount of reading you can do or research will let you experience it. You have to do it. That's the only way to figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. Absolutely. I had a few people reach out to me, and it's been lovely. People have come out of the woodwork, and there's people I haven't seen for ages saying, oh, I'm doing carnivore, or my husband's doing carnivore, or can you talk to my partner? She's vegetarian, but I think he needs to be carnivore. And I'm thinking, this is insane. Like, they're coming out of the woodwork, and it's just fantastic. But my greatest challenge is, I think probably, I don't really feel like I've had a lot of challenges yet, to be honest. I've loved it. I've just loved all of it. I never feel tired of eating meat, and it's quite a lot of variety. Just trying to think. Probably the biggest challenge has been my reaction from my family, my parents and things like that, and my sister as well, because they're very open-minded, but they're always asking questions. How long are you doing this for? When are you going to stop? What about cholesterol? What about this? You know, have you been to the doctors? All that sort of stuff. And I think I've just slowly feed them little bits of information, and they're really open to it now. And I think it actually influenced my dad a little bit. He started doing this, and Ty's dad's been taking it on, and he's lost some weight and he feels great. And they're in their 80s. So
nice.
I'm like, this is great. So it's slowly rubbing off, but I think people have to do their own research too. And I think I usually just direct people, say, look, check out these guys, you know, Chafee, Baker, Kilts, whatever, and just do you some research and check it out for yourself, because you'll do your own research and you'll need to work it out yourself. But that's probably been my biggest challenge, just trying to not convince anybody, but try and explain why I'm doing something, and just trying to point them in the right direction to find out for themselves.
Yeah, I think you're the prophet in your own town, right? So people won't listen to you. But if you point them to other people that are, especially doctors and such, and medical papers and all these things, I mean, if they're interested. My dad wouldn't even look at it. And he's in his 80s. He's 80, I think. And I visited, and he's very stubborn. And I visited, and I talked about it, and I shared a video with him, the Dr. Kenobi video from Low Carb Down Under a few years ago, when he talked about seed oils. Really good. A seed oil presentation, and about cancer rates and Alzheimer's and all the Western diseases that are associated with seed oils. And I was like, Dad, you don't have to go low carb, just cut out seed oils. I was like, if you just cut seed oils out, that's really, and he just didn't want to look at it even. And then he wouldn't look at it until I left the house and I was driving home. And he lives in Alabama, which is a 10-hour drive. So I'm driving home on the way back. And he calls me, like, I watched that video. Like, he wouldn't do it the days I was there. Like, that's, you know,
how
stubborn an old guy is, right? And I'm kind of stubborn like that, too. I'm an older guy, too, but I'm a little stubborn. But he's like that. So he watched it, and he's like, yeah, he had some good points. He said, I'll have to watch it again. I said, yeah, you should, Dad. And he said, but I'm not going to give up my mayonnaise.
Yeah. I was like, well,
I said, Dad, that's fine. But I said, at least now it's an informed consent, because up till now you thought it was safe and even healthy. And now you know it's not. And then these seed oils, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's papers that just come out a few years ago. They have a 680-day half-life in your body.
I haven't seen that.
Linoleic acid has a 2-year half-life. That means that if you stop eating seed oils, it takes 5 to 6 years for 95% of it to get out of your body.
To get out of your body. Wow.
And while it's in your body, it's continuing to damage your mitochondria, your cell walls, your DNA. And we know now, based on Otto Warburg and Dr. Seyfried, that they've done the test that if you get a healthy cell and you put in damaged mitochondria, it becomes cancerous. If you get a cancerous cell and put in healthy mitochondria, it returns to normal. And we know that seed oils damage mitochondria. So they are driving, for sure, 100% cancer. So I'm a huge advocate of not eating any seed oils if you can get away with it.
I think that was the first thing that resonated with me when everyone said, you don't have any of those oils anymore, because I'd have olive oil and I was like, or coconut oil even. And I'm like, okay, no more of those. Just
coconut's probably the safest. Coconut's probably the safest. And you can see that Dr. Kenobi talks about that one population on that island eats tons of coconut oil and fish and water. But the oils that can be, that were around back 200 years ago before the industrial age, they're the safest if they're cold pressed. But you don't know what you're buying is. And that's the thing. You just don't know that it's, you know, unless you were there when they made it, you can't tell they haven't cut it with something else. Or
it's amazing, isn't it? I had a conversation with my mom today about this whole topic about food and why so many kids are getting sick and they're away from school and they're more and more absent than when we were growing up. And she said, back then, you look around, no one was overweight.
Right.
People were moving more. People were exercising more because they didn't have cars necessarily. And they ate just normal, regular food that was not sprayed with pesticides. They didn't have the choices we have today, and they didn't have the processed food. And she said, we just had these choices on two hands. You could count all the food, and yeah, we were all fine. And yeah, but no seed oils.
So, yeah, and you're close to my age, so you grew up in similar times. And actually, I think Australia and Europe are behind us in changing the food chain. You probably lived more like I did in this. Even though I'm about 10 years older than you, I probably ate more similar food than you did growing up. And like, yes, my mother, when she would make salad dressing, she would make buttermilk ranch, and she would get buttermilk and add, yes, seasoning to it to make ranch. That there was no seed oils; it was buttermilk, and it was a healthy fat. Yeah, and then we would have whole food, and we would actually go in our backyard and get strawberries and put them in the salad, and we'd get walnuts from the front yard because we had trees out front. So we'd actually get real whole food. And yes, even though this is something, when your friend who's a vegan wants her husband or partner to become a carnivore, I think vegans and carnivores have a lot in common, other than the craziness some of these vegans have. But
yes,
I think that what we have in common is eating a whole food diet.
Whole foods.
And that is huge. If you know, unfortunately, they had the seed oils. If you cut that out and yes, eat a natural, I like to call it a natural whole food diet, if it's not made in a machine, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Then it's much better for you. Yeah. So we used to eat like that. And then when we would go out, we'd have pizza maybe once every couple months, and we wouldn't ever go out to eat. Well, rarely. It was like,
and that was the other thing. Yeah, you didn't go out to eat. You didn't have takeaway.
The kids now, they're eating out all the time. I mean, here in America, it's crazy.
It's just natural for them. They're like, can we get McDonald's and can I get 10 nuggets? And I'm like, no. Go home and I'll make you some chicken.
Right?
Some carnivore chicken.
All right. So what's the most unexpected thing you've experienced in your carnivore journey so far? What did you not expect? Maybe a benefit or something that just happened. And you're like, wow, I can't believe that. Maybe you didn't even realize, like, my allergies went away, which I didn't expect. So
I didn't expect the inflammation to go away so quickly with my psoriatic arthritis, which is, you know, your joints. That was like within a few months. I couldn't get my wedding ring on for a little while. Like, I could get it on, but it was tight. A bit like what you were saying. And I was like, oh, this is not good. And then as soon as I started carnivore, it was just, it's falling off now, you know? So that happened very quickly. I couldn't believe how quickly my body got rid of all this stuff. And I felt so much even lighter and just better. But the mental thing was a real eye-opener for me, just feeling clear and no brain fog. And that was probably the most unexpected thing, was that, because I wasn't expecting that at all. I just thought, oh yeah, you'll just, you know, your body will transform a little bit and I might feel better with my inflammation. But the brain fog and the clarity was a really big bonus.
Yeah, I agree. And I totally understand that, because that's something I did not expect either. I mean, I expected to lose weight. That's what I like to say. Come for the weight loss, stick around for the non-scale victories, because they're so much better. But yes, you don't get to experience them until you try it. And the weight loss is the sexy part that gets people in. They're like, oh, look at all the weight you've lost. You look amazing. But the way I feel is better than the way I look. I guarantee you. If I look amazing, you can't understand how I feel, because it's way better.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? It's a wonderful feeling to not only feel good in your own skin, but feel good in your own self.
I no longer wake up and have bad days when I wake up. I used to have days where I just wake up in a bad mood or have a bad day when I woke up. I just don't. I don't wake up in a bad mood. I spring open. I have all this energy. I still drink a little coffee every now and then and stuff, but I don't need it. I can just get up and go. And when I wake up, I'm doing tasks immediately. I feel like, what can I do? I need to do something. And
it's great. It's very motivating, isn't it? It's like just being ultra motivated all the time. Yeah, absolutely. I totally feel the same.
That's totally crazy. It's not. And you know, I think that's transformative. And that's part of what we talk about, changing your identity. You become a different person.
Yes, absolutely.
Kind of the person we were designed to be, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally.
Let's talk about your YouTube channel. So you have a YouTube channel, and I'm going to share it here. So why would you start a YouTube channel, and what are your goals and stuff with it? Let's talk about that. Yeah. Let's talk about why you started.
I was a little bit scared to start a YouTube channel because I'm technically challenged with that sort of thing. But I actually really felt so passionate about sharing what I'd been through that I just thought, what other medium or way can I share with people that might get out to a bigger audience apart from Facebook and my Instagram, which is just personal pages. And I just felt so excited to share it straight away. Like, I think I shared my first little video with that first week when I got back and started. I was like, and it was probably very over the top and people thought I was crazy, but I just didn't care. I'm like, I don't care. I feel so good about this that I'm just going to share it. And I did get reactions from people straight away, which was great. And I've helped a few people already overcome some amazing challenges with their mental health and different things. And that just made me feel like it was worth doing to help someone with it. And I'm not doing it to sell anything or do coaching or sell a program or anything like that. I'm just doing it because I just love helping people. And I think that comes across when you're really passionate about it, to authentically want to just help people and share.
Yeah, and I've had discussions with other carnivores about this, and not all carnivores are that way. There are carnivores that are doing this for money and doing this for,
of course, to promote their channel.
And that's fine. They can do that. But there are a lot of carnivores that don't. Like, I talked to Dr. Chafee, and I tell you, that guy's one of the most genuine guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
All the doctors really are. But Dr. Chafee, yes, he basically did the YouTube channel because he's running out of time, and he felt that he deserved, that people that ask questions deserved more answers than he could, yes, individually give them. So he made a YouTube channel so that he could just point them to that and they could find out. And that's kind of my thing too. I saw an immediate, when I went carnivore and started talking about it, and my friends saw the difference. Several veterans and several family members did it too and got the same experience. And then other people I work with. And then I heard from those people that people I had never even met had changed their lives based on the third party experience of this. So I thought, wow, what if I did a YouTube channel? I could reach more people. And then I started Mission Carnivore, which is, because the mental health was so much better, focused on the veterans and the first responders who have a tremendous mental health challenge here in America. I'm not sure if Australia is the same way, but here it's really bad. So
I think it's, yeah.
So that was part of that too. And I know I've actually met people now whose lives changed based on having this channel out there. So that's great. That's the goal, right?
It's fantastic. Yeah. And you're touching so many people and so many lives in so many different ways.
There's no way to do it otherwise. And we need to get this message out. We need more voices like yours, like mine, absolutely, like others who are
even my little channel. If it helps someone, that's all. And it can just keep spreading. We can all spread it together. It just becomes stronger and stronger.
Yeah. Because the problem is we're up against mega corporations and the governments and the media, and the media is paid for, and the government's paid for by these corporations. They are sponsoring it. The politicians are being bought or supported by these major corporations. And we have the Food and Drug Administration, which is paid for by the corporations that they monitor, which, you know, is crazy to me, but I'm sure in Australia it's something similar. And they work together hand in hand. The food companies make you just sick enough to not die right away. And then the drug companies come. And I see all these drugs that are all, it's so crazy. They're all these, what do you call it? I'm trying to think of the word. They're the autoimmune system. They're all these autoimmune conditions that I don't remember growing up with. And now they're everywhere. And there's all these drugs that, and if you watch, every drug they hawk on TV will say, take this, it'll take care of this skin condition or this hair loss condition, but you may not be able to fight infections well. That's telling me right there, it's an autoimmune issue. If it's attacking your immune system, your immune system is attacking your body because your body is inflamed and poisoned, and it's overwhelmed. And all you have to do is get the poison out of your body and you're going to be fine, I think, for most people.
Exactly. It's dysfunctioning. Your body's not functioning properly because of that, and it needs to get rid of it. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that when I started doing the research on carnivore and listening to the history and about the industries and how that's all happening with people being paid off and the whole thing with the sugar and all that sort of stuff, I think it made me a bit angry. And I was like, this is real. Why do we not know this? Like, all these, how do people not know about this? It's sort of like we've been tricked into believing all this stuff about nutrition. And I think that was my other big thing that made me passionate to share it was, people need to know about this and why and how it's happened and hear the true story and then make their own decision up about it. Because I think if more people understood that, they might go, oh, I didn't know that, you know, maybe I shouldn't feed my kids that or, yeah.
And a lot of people's eyes have been opened by recent medical events, we'll call them global medical events, and their eyes have been opened to the corporate influence on the truth. I will put it that way. And I think that this is a good time because the ground is fertile. It's the same story. It hasn't changed. It's just that event shed light on things that we didn't realize. I think I always trusted a lot of these authorities. I did. And I thought I could. And now I know I can't, you know, and you know, I thought certain areas I could and certain areas I couldn't. Now it's just, okay, I just can't. These are not trustworthy people. And we need to find our own truth. And actually the truth's out there. It's published. It's in papers. It's in, you know, the Bellevue study with low carb meat eating. And it's with the Otto Warburg doing the cancer studies. There's all these studies. And then there's current studies too. So there's so much science out there that you can go to and actually read hard science on this. It's great. So what are your goals on your YouTube channel? What do you want your YouTube channel to do? What would be a successful channel for you?
I think that's a new thing. I haven't given it a lot of thought. I think I'd like to be able to reach more people and have more people really have a look at it and get a really candid view of what it's about and just sort of, you know, open people's eyes up to at least having a look at what it is, because I think my background was very plant-based at one stage. I was never vegetarian or vegan, but it was plant-based and it was all based around whole foods and that sort of thing. And I think a lot of people just think that's the only way. And I think if people can hear other people's stories and identify with, oh, that was me or that's me now and why didn't that work, I think just touching more people and increasing people coming in just to listen, I think that would, especially mums as well. I think mums need to look after themselves more. And I think we don't do that very well. I think, you know, that we tend to put a lot of people first and not look after ourselves. So that's, if I can reach the audience to help them feel better about themselves and be healthy and be able to take care of their families better, I think that's mental health and physical health is, it goes hand in hand. Yeah, I think just trying to reach more people and just get out there a little bit more, that would be my goal. I don't have a number or anything, but.
Right. No, that's good. That's good. And that's, you know, getting the truth out. This is, like I said, this is the grassroots movement. This is the way you get, you can join the fight by either making videos. And if you're not a YouTuber, then you should definitely find YouTubers that are new like Kendall here and join their channels and support them. And get this message out, because we have to drive the algorithm and we're in charge on that. We drive the algorithm and we do that by, as soon as a video is published, if you are subscribed, first off, like and subscribe, like videos, subscribe to them. And then when, and then make sure you hit that notification bell so that you always get the notifications. As soon as you get them, the first hour is the golden hour, because YouTube publishes that video to those people first that are subscribed to you. And then they determine, well, how did their own subscribers react to this video before they share it? And if your own subscribers can't bother to watch it in the first hour, your odds of getting shared out by YouTube algorithm are pretty low. So if you ever see a video pop up, I have certain people to always jump on and put a comment in there and a like, a thumbs up. Yes. And if you're subscribed to a YouTuber and you like their content and you think it's important that it gets out, you need to jump in and like and subscribe as soon as you get a notification that a video has been put out. It really helps drive the algorithm, and it could save someone's life. It saved my life. I don't know if it's that drastic for you, but for me, it actually saved my life, because my life was not in a good direction at all. And it's completely changed it.
No, that's great. I agree. Yep.
So it's not like little stuff. These YouTube channels are pretty big. I think they have a huge amount of impact. Yeah. So I don't know if you've seen my video about why, and you talked about your why.
I think I did see it. Yeah.
And the why is the huge thing, right? And losing 13 pounds for spring break is not a why.
No. You know, that you can,
that's not a why. That's a goal, right? And that may be something fun to do, but it's not enough to change your whole life. So you really need to get a real why. And I hear people say, well, I could never do this, or I could never do that. Where they talk about, I could never give up vegetable. I could never give up alcohol, whatever that is, sugar. I could never, ever, right? And I point to them to my video where I talk about an escrow account. Did you see the escrow account video?
Yes, I did hear you talking about that. Yes, they get the money if they do it.
if that person said I could never do X, let's say it's never not eat a salad, right? Well, if I wrote you a $25,000 check and put it in an escrow account and I was able to accompany you for a month, and if you ate that salad, you didn't get it. But if you went through and didn't eat any salad, didn't eat any vegetable for a month, you'd get $25,000. You'd have no problem. You'd be able to sit in a Thanksgiving dinner or even Christmas dinner and not eat any sweets if that was part of the deal, because you knew $25,000 was waiting for you, right? And that's because that's your why, right? And you have complete faith. And the other thing is the faith in the diets, because all these diets have failed us. I'm sure you've done, being a fitness person, you've done other diets. I did keto, I did OMAD, I did alternate day fasting, I did Atkins, I did all kinds of diets, and they all worked for a while, but they all failed. And this is the first one that didn't. So I think there's the belief in the diet system that's not there, and then there's the why that's not there. And you get those two and marry them, you're a superhero. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think people think it's a fad, and it's not a fad. As you said, it's not just a lifestyle. It's like a whole change. Like, it changes you and transforms you totally. It's not just the diet and the extrinsic, it's the intrinsic as well. They go hand in hand.
Yeah. And so right now, I'm sure if I offered you $25,000, you wouldn't switch back to a standard diet.
Absolutely not.
There's no way, right? I mean,
absolutely not.
There's no way someone could offer me enough money to get me to go back. There's no way it wouldn't happen, because I will make more money than that going forward, because I'm totally productive in my career and everything now. And on top of that, it's just, I don't want to ever be sick like that again. I was so sick. And now I've experienced what right feels like. And I had not experienced that. And once you experience that, you can't unsee what you've seen. And that's the thing. And you can't unlearn what you've learned.
That's right. You don't want to ever go back.
No, you don't. And this is why it's so important to have a partner like your husband, which is great, who's on board with it 100%, which that's what you really need. I think I would love to have that. And that's what I seek in a partner.
And I think it helps, because you can do it together and you encourage each other and you both feel good together. I think it is really, really, really cool.
Let's talk about your carnivore wedding real quick, because that's so cool that you had actually a carnivore wedding. So this is something I have to consider, because one day I hope to get married again. This is something else I never thought I'd plan, but now I do plan on one day being married again, having a family again.
And I
want to have a carnivore wedding. So what was it like, Kendall? What did you guys do?
Well, we were already carnivore and we're like, well, we're definitely going to pick the menu. We went and handpicked. Actually, I picked the menu and I went into, it was at a restaurant, so it was very small and intimate. So the food is amazing and we've eaten there before. So I just picked everything protein that I could possibly pick from entrees, or you guys call them appetizers, mains. I picked as many meats and fish as I could possibly pick. And of course, we had to have some sides of chat potatoes, and they had a few salads and things. But apart from that, we just chose as much meat as we could, and it was amazing. Like, we just ate what we wanted to from it, and everyone was happy. Everyone loved the food because they could still have their extra stuff with it, and it all got served up in big bowls, and they just sort of serve everybody a little bit of everything. We had 23 people, so it was, like, really intimate and small. We did have a cake, and I did choose a croquembouche, which is a, like, profiterole. They're, like, pastry puffs filled with this beautiful cream sort of custardy cream. So it was creamy. So it was real. And it was made from a Greek baker. So they would have made all beautiful home, you know, proper ingredients. So that was, we did only have one each, and we were happy to have that one bit of little, like, it was that big. We had one each, and we might've had half the next day, but we didn't overindulge, and we had a fantastic time, and we had a few glasses of champagne, but we didn't go over the top. So we enjoyed ourselves. We ate really good food, but we still really stuck to the main principle of just eating the meat, no veggies, no carbs. And it was fantastic. We had at the time of our lives, it was great. And everyone was wonderful to be around, and they didn't care what we were eating and what we weren't eating. So it was brilliant. It was really, really good.
That's good news. That's great. That's what sounds like something I would plan. I would probably pick somewhere that's a barbecue place here in Texas.
If you can, that would be better.
Yeah. I mean, because they have, like, because then you can just get all the meat you want. If people want to order sides, they can. But I mean,
Exactly. Yeah. No, it was wonderful. And everyone had a great time. It was the best part. Yeah. It was a great time.
Yeah.
So it can be done.
That's great. And that's good news. And that's something I'd like to plan if and when I get married in the future. That's what I would like to do. So, you know, there's one thing I love talking to Australians. I think Australians and Texans have a lot in common. We're rugged individual people in a harsh environment, and we know how to take care of ourselves. We have sayings in here like, no one's coming, you have to self-rescue. That's kind of the way we live, right?
And, exactly.
Yeah. So I love this attitude you have, Kendall. I think it's great. Glad to hear you and your husband are doing awesome. And
thank you.
Let me talk about how people can get in contact with you. I know at Carnivore Kendall is your YouTube, correct?
Yes, I didn't have it. I have got an email, which I have put on that YouTube channel now. It's just an email address there that they can contact me at as well if they like. But I can always private message them if they want, but they can email me on that address that's on there. Yeah.
So, well. Okay.
I do have Facebook and Instagram too, so they can find me on there as well. KendallFX it is. I probably should send that through to you, and people can find me on Instagram and Facebook. They type in Kendall, I think Kendall Hanley on Facebook and KendallFX on Instagram.
And you're a fitness coach, you said.
Not practicing anymore, but just working on myself now. So yeah, that's I'm a qualified personal trainer, so that's what I did for a few years as well. But now just training myself.
I see your videos. You do the full body workout videos and stuff.
Yeah. I try and pop them up for people so they can follow along if they want to help themselves, follow along and get fit on my channel as well. So there's all free workouts on there as well.
Yeah, that's
I super try and do them every week. Mm.
I tell people, like, you're going to – so one of the things I tell people is when you start this diet, you're going to feel this surge of energy and you're going to feel motivation to do something. And you need to take that motivation and apply it to – I started out just walking and then moved my way to sprinting and lifting weights and all that. But I had to do something. I couldn't just sit around. And you'll feel that way. You'll feel antsy. I guess you call it antsy. I just felt like I had to do something. So I built a brick wall up in the front garden around a garden, and I put new soil, put roses in. Like, oh, I did a lot of yard work and it's backbreaking work, but I felt amazing doing it.
Yeah.
And didn't
good get old sore. Fashioned functional movement, you know?
Yeah. Didn't get sore. And the thing was, I used to get sore like that. That would kill me the next day. I'd be laying on the couch back when I was on the normal.
Wow.
Do you find that too? You have less inflammation when you do your workouts?
Absolutely. I'm not as sore, not as sore at all, and always got energy, and I'm excited like to get up. And I get up at 5 every morning, so I'm an early riser, and I just love it, and I'm excited. Like, sometimes, you know, every now and then if you've had a late night, you might be a bit tired, but you've definitely got that energy where you're just raring to get up and get the day going and seize the day early. It's wonderful. Absolutely. Yep.
The soreness I experience now is the good sore. It's like, oh, I had a workout. I can feel that. That feels good. You know, it's not like, I can't barely sit on the toilet because my legs.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, yeah. You know how it is.
Absolutely. My partner, the husband says it all the time. He said, now I don't have to lean down and sit down and put my socks on. I can actually do it without doing that. And I feel like so much better.
I was heavy, I couldn't even tie my shoes without losing my breath. That's how bad I was. Wow. It was so sad, right? And I say this all the time, I felt like less of a man because I felt like I wasn't fit like I used to be. Because I used to be, right? I had these memories of how I used to be and then how I was going, and my future looked worse than it did. And now I think this is something I've heard a pastor talk to me about. He said, once your vision for your future, or once your memories of your past are greater than your vision for your future, then God has no use for you. Basically, you're living in the past and you have no contribution to society or your family or anything. And I think I was in that phase, and now my vision for my future is way, way out. And it's
way bigger.
Yeah. And YouTube's part of it, meeting people like you. This is so fun to meet people all over the world and have
fantastic.
This in common. Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. I'm really excited. I just hope we can reach more and more people and get people listening and joining in and all that. It's fantastic what you're doing as well. So I'm very excited to be here and be able to talk to you.
Yeah, well, thanks for stopping by. We will reach more people, Kendall. You're going to be definitely a big part of this. You keep sharing your information, your studies, keep honing your skill as a YouTuber and a carnivore. Yes. Because carnivore is not just something you do, it's something you get good at. And it takes time. You have to do your N equals one experience and learn your body. My body's different than yours, Kendall, and your husband's. And what I do and works for me may not work for you exactly, although the general guidelines and best practices are going to work. But
we're all different at the end of the day.
We are. All right, I'm going to drop you out. I'm going to say goodbye. I'm going to end the video, but you can stick around and I'll share the things we talked about.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
On YouTube, right? All right, guys. Thanks for stopping by. It's been a great podcast. Kendall's fantastic. Check her channel out for sure. All I got to say now is stay strong and overcome. Carnivore Soldier out.